Hello, church family. My name is Marilyn Mitchell, and I'm the Women's Ministry Director for New Vision's Buchanan Campus. And today we are in our Out of Context podcast series, looking at some of the most misused verses in the Bible, some verses that all of us are very familiar with, but unfortunately, most all of us have also used or misunderstood incorrectly. And, you know, it's so important that when we are studying Scripture, that we actually understand it in context as God intended. Otherwise, when we have created and adapted a false belief about Scripture, then it will let us down. And when it does, we will believe that God and or Scripture has let us down, when in fact it was our understanding from the beginning that was flawed. So it's always a worthwhile effort, sometimes a difficult and challenging and painful effort, to challenge our core beliefs. But I think it's so important that we do that, because God is so much greater and bigger and better than what our limited understanding would allow. So it's so important for us to be teachable in these things. So the verse that I'm going to cover today is one of my favorites in Scripture. It's actually Romans 8 is one of my favorite passages in Scripture, period. But it's so good, and it is good, but it is often misused. And so let's talk about that for a little bit. Let's look at this verse. But what I want to start us with is context, because that's what we're talking about. So even though we're going to look at Romans 8, 28, I'm going to start in verse 18 and read through verse 30 of the English Standard Version. And it says this: "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he has seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified." Well, yes, 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 and amen. Clearly, this is a wonderful passage for believers. Paul is writing to the believers in Rome, the Christians in Rome, and he's talking about this future glory. But interesting how so many of these verses are peppered with the language of suffering and groaning and longing, right? Bondage to corruption, all of these things, the pains of childbirth. And I just love in verse 23 this phrasing of how we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly. In context of this passage with these verses accompanying it, man, it gives Romans 8:28 even more power to me, because it's Romans 8:28 is in direct response to these other verses, and it doesn't end there, it continues. So let's look at that. I read from the English Standard Version. You may be more familiar with the King James Version or the NIV for Romans 8:28. So I'll read it in NIV. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So again, as always, it's important to understand in context, using these surrounding verses and honestly the broader themes of Romans 8. And so what we've seen is Paul continuing to speak about suffering and hardships that Christians face. He acknowledges the difficult reality of suffering and the groaning of creation due to sin. But he also speaks of hope, the hope that we have as believers through the Holy Spirit, and how he helps us in our weakness and intercedes for us. That's verse 26 in the NIV. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. All of this is so important to set the stage for Romans 8:28. Because if we take Romans 8:28 out all by itself without any of that context, and we just, you know, vomit the words onto someone to say, oh, you know, all things work together for good, I'm sorry, but that's really frustrating. It's not helpful when someone is in the midst of tragedy and suffering and hardship to just be told, you know, just kind of like Pollyanna, hey, it's all going to be okay. All things work together for good. Instead, Paul has really laid the groundwork ahead of time, and it's important that we see it too. Paul is understanding these sufferings, these hardships, that our reality in life is difficult. Not everything is easy or pleasant, but he still asserts that God is working for the good of those who love him. And so in his sovereignty, God is able and is doing that which brings about good, even in the midst of suffering and hardship. So I think that's super important, but it's also important to understand who we are talking about in this verse. It's very clear in the verse itself. Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, which is very clearly believers. And the rest of the passage, the rest of the context of where he's writing this verse, confirms that, right? He's over and over clearly speaking to believers who have the first fruits of the Spirit, that are called and justified and being sanctified, all of these things. So that's an important way that Romans 8:28 unfortunately is often misused, is that frankly many non-believers will quote this verse, and many believers will quote this verse to non-believers. And frankly, friends, that's not accurate to the context of the scripture. Not all things work together for good, full stop. All things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. And so when we give that false hope and many things happen that are not good, it would seem as if the word lied. And we know, of course, that that is not true. The word cannot lie. It does not lie. And so what has happened any time that we believe scripture and or God has let us down is that we have to evaluate where our understanding has been flawed, because it's certainly not scripture and it's certainly not our good God. So what is important contextually is to know that he's speaking to believers. So this is not a blanket promise to all of humanity. And again, how do we know that? Scripture informs scripture. And so we see in many places in scripture, including in Romans, that there is wrath in store for those who do not love God, who do not believe on him and do not accept the gift of salvation. And so it is not true that all things work together for good, but it is true that all things work together for good for those who love God and who have been called according to his purpose. But then that comes the second part. Again, this does not mean that we have this easy, just fully blessed and favored life where nothing ever goes wrong. No, Paul is very upfront in confronting the suffering and hardship that exists. But the promise and the hope that we have, this inward groaning that waits eagerly, is that we can trust that we have a sovereign God who is working all things together and will be able to bring about good even in the midst of suffering and hardship. So that good may not always be immediately apparent or understood from a human perspective, but God's understanding and plans are so far beyond our own. And his definition of good is certainly different than ours. So the verse isn't promising us a trouble-free life, but it's just assuring us of the hope we have in God, that he is sovereign and that his purposes are being fulfilled in our lives. And so I would just encourage you, friend, if you have misunderstood or misread this verse and it has left you feeling flat, right? Left you feeling empty and disappointed because it doesn't deliver. I encourage you to read it in the context that it's intended, that as a Christ follower, one who loves the Lord and is following after him and seeking to do his will, you can trust and know with full assurance that all things are being worked out for good, a good that only God can see and know, and execute, but a good nonetheless. And what is that good? I think if we just look at verse 29, we'll see it. That's why it's so important to keep reading and not just pull a verse out. Verse 29 tells us that for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the good that he's working in us. These things that are hard and difficult and challenging and painful, they are working in us the good of being conformed to the image of his son. And that is so powerful in its proper context to understand and trust this fullness of God's sovereignty and care for us. And I hope that it does encourage you today. And I hope that if you are not a Christ follower, if you are not a believer, and you do not have the full assurance that God is working all these things together for your good, it's not too late. Today is the day of salvation, and he is longing to be gracious to you. He has given his son to die on the cross for every sin, past, present, and future. And for those who love him, for those who believe him, for those who accept that beautiful gift, we can be assured that all things are working together for our good and for his glory. So I encourage you to reach out to us if you have questions. You can always go to nextsteps@newvisionlife.com and get more information and reach out to us. But I pray that the Lord meet you this day and affirm in your heart that he is sovereign and that he can be trusted to work things together for good for those who love him and who are called according to his purposes, and he will do it for his glory. Be blessed.